We look at the things which are not seen. And from the foreign report that we had, I think there's many brethren on foreign lands who also look at things not seen, that is, with a literal eye. Before long, we believe that all the overcoming members of the body of Christ will be gone on the other side with our Lord. There will be no members on this side of the veil. Darkness will be darker than ever before on this earth. The salt will be gone, and full corruption will take place. And the great time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, will be in full progress. But in the meantime, we are admonished in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, that we are to let our light shine wherever we have the opportunity, whether in here or not. Of course, we know now is not the time to enlighten the world yet. But the letting our light shine will test us and prove whether we will be worthy to be of the body of Christ, which shall shine forth in the Son and the glory of the Father. And then we'll be able to enlighten the whole world in a manner which we never could do with the present condition. That we are living in the days of world revolution is clearly seen by all thinking people. The question is often asked, how will it all end? Now, we have many scriptures in prophecy relating to our day. From a study of these, we learn that there are many aspects to the day of Jehovah. That is the day we are living in today. And there are many phases yet to be developed before the final blessings can come to all mankind. Let us start with those scriptures which refer to the shaking of all things and the fire of God's jealousy, which are evidenced in the day that we are living in the present time. Joel tells us in Joel 3:16, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and shall utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Now, Haggai, in Haggai 2:6, we find much the same words reported. But we find an interesting passage in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 27th verse, reading from the Weymouth translation. Yet again I will once for all cause not only the earth to tremble, but heaven also. Now here we have the words yet again once for all indicates the removal of all things that can be shaken and those things which cannot be shaken and will remain. Now we do not clearly understand the shaking process because that is the Lord's doings. But we can understand the contrast drawn between the things which will be shaken and the things which will remain. As far as we are concerned, the sense of values which the Apostle Paul reveals in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, enables us to rightly assess the value of that which can be shaken and that which will remain. We read, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you see what a great advantage we have over those who can only behold the seen things. An advantage for which we should render humble and grateful thanks to Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light and has privileged us to see this great plan of salvation for all mankind. Now in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verses 24 and 25, here we find another contrast. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now we all know how grass and flowers wither and dry when the rains fail to come. Some places they've had too much rain and other places not enough this year, but we know that what happens if you don't get the rain. So in these days when the fire of God's jealousy is burning, the earth, the hopes, the aims, and ambitions of man, all the fruits of their lifelong labor wilt and die overnight. And they are left desolate and disillusioned. But this word of the Lord remains forever, is a source of strength to those who can see the things which are not seen. Now the word of the Lord is not just merely the written word. It is also that living vital force of the Holy Spirit by which we have been begotten to newness of life, as we read in 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 23rd verse. I'm reading it from the Weymouth translation. For you have been begotten again by God's ever-living and enduring word, from a germ not of perishable, but of imperishable life. Now this surely is a fulfillment of that wonderful promise recorded of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter and the 38th verse. Again reading from the Weymouth translation. He who believes in me, from within him, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living waters shall flow. And then in John 4:14, but the water which I shall give him will become a fountain within him of water springing up for the life of the ages. So you see, in these days of shaking, when the nature streams are dried, when all else fails, this living word is a fountain springing up from within, a great source of strength to all who have been begotten anew. You will notice that we purposely only partly quoted the passage from Joel and Haggai, so that we could place the emphasis on the last part of each text. In Joel 3:16, after foretelling the shaking of all things, the prophet continues, but the word of the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So while all around us we see men unable to find a way out of their distresses, when all their institutions are being wrecked in the great shaking, you and I have an abiding harbor, a place of refuge, as we read Psalm 91:1. Here I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Now in Haggai, the 2nd chapter, verses 6 and 7, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now in the time of shaking, all the desirable precious things of all nations, all their mineral wealth, all the results of research and study of the highest intellects, which are not for the benefit of the life of man, but for his destruction, all the best manhood of the race that are in high places, all the efforts of labor unions, secret societies, in fact, all created things that man has devised to lift himself up by his own bootstraps, shall be shaken and must come tumbling down. What then are we to expect to take their place? Well, you and I look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, which will take the place of all present governments and kingdoms, pictured in symbols in the 21st and the 22nd chapter of Revelations. Now in the walls of this great city are 12 gates, open to receive first Israel restored, and then the world reconciled to God. Then their king shall bring their honor and glory into it, and the nations will do likewise. Thus we are, as foretold so long ago by Haggai, after the shaking is over, the desirable precious things of all nations, now being poured out in destruction, shall be brought to this house in which I will give peace. Now this implies a oneness among mankind, which has been the dream and constant aim of all those who have worked for peace on this earth. But until now, all efforts to accomplish this have been utterly failed. But everlasting peace will come. This may take a long time as men judge time, but it will come, and it will be a blessing which all the families of the earth will share in due time. Now in Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, we read another text. All the earth shall be devoured by the fire of my jealousy. Then I will turn to the people of pure language. Now Rotherham translates this, and he says, instead of a pure language, he says a lip made pure. A lip made pure. Now the original pure lip became contaminated early in the world's history, which ended in the confusion of tongues. This prevented men from building up a godless world empire. And this confusion has continued and will remain until he come whose right it is with his mediatorial reign. Then he will remove all the barriers that have kept men apart, not only the barriers of spoken language, but also the barriers of race, custom, creed, and religion, which have so completely separated and throughout these long ages past and present. Then the prophet continues in the 9th verse, Zephaniah 3:9, they shall all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. Now Rotherham adds an interesting footnote here, suggesting the term one consent should read one shoulder, as men helping one another steadily, gladly, willingly, gladly to help one another. Yes, it will be a great work to build up this great world empire, which will last forever. But in Daniel we are told that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never pass away. After the shaking has laid low the mountains and hills and exalted the valleys symbolically, and the stones of prejudice and falsehoods which have stumbled men in the past have been removed from the highway, men will eagerly help one another along this highway of holiness, along which the ransom of the Lord shall return with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. During that time, the mentally, morally, physically, and spiritually sick ones will be healed by the great physician, of which we hope to be a part of, if faithful. Now men are bringing about such desolations on the earth that it is fast becoming transformed into the wilderness and solitary place, such as we have never dreamed would be possible even 10, 20, or 30 years ago. Who ever thought that our waters, our land, and air would become so polluted that it would endanger the lives of mankind? Who ever thought that we would come to a time when our food would have enough elements of poison in it to destroy us? But in that day, the earth will rejoice and blossom as a rose. It's a wonderful picture to look forward to, isn't it? Now, we know that the prophet Isaiah was privileged to foresee both the desolations of these times and the blessings which should follow. And he uses the beauties of his own country to contrast between present conditions of the earth and those which will exist under the blessings of the future. First, he gives us the dark picture in Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, verses 7 to 9. Here he says, "Behold, their valiant one shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highway lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits." Now this passage surely depicts the state of the world at the present time. And the prophet declares it to be as like Lebanon hewn down, Sharon like a wilderness, and Carmel without fruit. The devastation on the earth is also compared to briars and nettles and thorns, springing up and choking man's food supplies. Surely these harmful prickly plants are true pictures of the polluting poisons which are in the earth today. However, we read in Isaiah the 55th chapter in the 13th verse, here he gives us a better picture. He said, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and shall not be cut off." So we see then that the glory of Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon shall return. Now the cedars of Lebanon, which picture growth in holiness and righteousness, will take the place in all the world when the Sun of Righteousness spreads its beams over the earth, and then righteousness shall flourish again. We read this in Psalm, the 92nd Psalm, and the 12th verse. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." And then in the 104th Psalm, and the 16th verse, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, and the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted." Now in Isaiah, the 60th chapter and the 13th verse, here he speaks of a time when the glory of Lebanon shall come to thee, and the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the sanctuary, the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Now the wilderness of Sharon, too, shall bear fruit again, when the nettles and thorns are removed. In Isaiah, the 65th chapter and the 10th verse, here we find a promise of peace and plenty. "And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in." I'm sure many of you have a picture of the lion and the lamb and the child shall lead them. Well, this is the picture of what will be in the coming age. Those are the things that we see today. "Carmel shall no longer be barren and unfruitful, because the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all the waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Now the whole picture of prosperity and fruitfulness is beautifully illustrated by the wonderful restitution chapter of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Here he tells us that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Joy, it shall bloom abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, here we find another contrast between that which is lasting and that which is not. Now prophecy, as they are being fulfilled, become history, and often forgotten, since their usefulness as such is gone. The gift of tongues was just a means to an end, so we know they ceased. Knowledge of itself merely puffs up and is replaced by further enlightenment. But faith, hope, and love endureth forever. Now these three are our very life in these days of shaking. But one day, very soon we trust, faith will give way to reality. Hope being fulfilled will be hope no more, but love will continue unto all eternity and find its fullness expression in the union of the spiritual body of Christ, of which we trust each one of us will be a part of. Now these three, faith, hope, and love, however, will continue in the earth. Man without these would become barren. Now their faith is in their own devices and is being shaken. Then they will put their faith in the strong arm of God as they behold the power of his might through the working of the Christ. Now they hope for peace on earth by their own planning and efforts through the dreams of their politicians. Then they will find hope in the Rock of Ages, in the plan of eternal salvation provided by a wise and loving God. Yes, there is love in the world to a certain extent today, but most of it is love for power, love of self, love of praise of men, love of ease and pleasure at the expense of others. Then that same power of love will be directed into other channels. Men will love to learn God above everything else, and will love and serve their fallen men. Then the efforts of men will not be bent to the destruction of property, or rioting, or robbing their neighbors, or doing them harm, as their daily papers relate the inhumanity of man to man. But they will be united under the great mediator, the Messiah, and hear him, and to do good unto others, so that they will be worthy to live eternally, if obedient to the righteous laws of the kingdom. Because at that time, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then in Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, and the 15th to the 18th verse, we read, "And the wilderness will be a fruitful place, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Now there is also another shaking going on at the present time, at the end of this gospel age. A shaking in our own very midst. No doubt many of us have felt it to one extent or another. The Apostle Paul says the heavens also shall be shaken. Of course we know this primarily belongs to the ecclesiastical heavens. And we can see how the nominal churches are losing their grip, especially upon the younger generation of our day. However, we are also warned that he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Now this applies to those of the true church, the called of God. Now, in closing, I see the chairman is waiting for me to get off. So in closing, I'll read the second Peter, the third chapter, the 11th and the 14th verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Yes, we look at the things which are not seen. Let us keep this bright vision of the future ever before us, until that which is at present only seen by the eye of faith becomes an abiding reality. And may the Lord add his blessing.